Beef Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week we're going to be talking about G.I. Joe Retribution, or Retaliation. It's Retaliation, isn't it? I got that wrong already. I'm not even a minute into the show, and I've already screwed up. I think Retribution was the,
whatever.
What was the other, Resident Evil movie? I think that's what that
was. I think
was.
You're right, yes.
Retaliation.
G.I. Joe, blah, blah, blah.
G.I. Joe. There's also going to be talk about The Host and Tyler Perry's Temptations, Confession of a Marriage Counselor.
Nice.
That's not how Tyler Perry talks.
I was going to say, which voice are we doing this week?
I don't know.
There's always something in the beginning of the show that you pull out some kind of voice.
I do.
I don't know what that one was.
I don't either.
It's, okay.
Part of it is we usually start the show on the rails and it derails at some point.
Mm. Really? Are we ever really on the rails?
We never made it on the rails.
Like during our intro, maybe we're on the rails?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas there's no danger of a runaway train.
As soon as I say Fat Guys at the Movies, it's all over.
It just that's when the script ends.
Yep.
But we're also going to talk about DVDs and Blu-ray releases. But before we do that, I must claim victory. I'm just going to claim
victory.
Excuse me? I'm just claiming victory. I'm allowed
claiming
to.
Claiming victory over what?
Good sense. I'm claiming victory on the box office predictions because I picked the number one movie.
All right.
You were closer. Technically, if you want to like be technical about it, you were closer. But mine appears first in the show notes.
Right. So I will always lose.
This is.
I see how this is.
This is sort of the North Korean way of doing things. You know, the Kim Jong Il and Sons way of just sort of.
Who knew when I signed up for this show that I was moving to North Korea?
I think we should make a rule now. You should start referring to me the way they refer to the leaders in North Korea. Don't they call him Glorious Leader and stuff like that?
Okay.
You're not into that? I think you should. Yeah, next, we'll, make a note. Next
we'll discuss that in my contract.
Okay. Anyways, yes, Kristen was much closer with the Croods at 41 million.
Yes.
And it made $44 million.
Not bad.
Kudos to you.
Hey.
Kudos to you and your Crudy movie. I said 25. I just didn't know if it was going to do that well. It apparently did much better.
Who knew?
You know, it's a big
spring
deal
break,
for
them. You know.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it was, then it was Olympus Had Fallen. Now, there's one that came out of nowhere no one expected to make, $30 million.
Yes. Who knew?
$30 million. And I
what
saw
a crazy
it.
Crazy weekend.
Did you end up checking
I
it out?
I didn't know.
It's Die Hard in the White House. It's totally what it is. It's R-rated explosive violence. It's also completely ludicrous. And that's part
Which
of the
is
thing.
Pretty much what we expected.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I don't want to see a movie about people taking over the White House and go, yeah, they could do that. That totally could happen. You know, there's like an opening scene because the whole thing is that one of the things that the North Koreans do initially is they send a plane, this giant bomber, and it's like you see the bomber flying and it says Chesapeake Bay.
Nice.
And then they finally get it finally crosses over into Washington, D.C. airspace, and then they send fighter jets after it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that if there's a bomber over Chesapeake Bay 30 minutes out, they're going to send planes.
Yeah, they're probably keeping an eye on North Korea.
A little earlier.
We've seen an awful lot of North Korea recently.
That's the only ones left. They can't, because they can't make the Chinese bad guys because they try and make too many movies go to China.
It's true.
That's actually what happened with Red Dawn.
Right.
Because the Chinese were the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
This one, the Chinese aren't the bad guys. The North Koreans are kind of the bad. It's not even officially the North Koreans. They're sort of on the fringe. But it's a ludicrous movie. Everyone's saying it's jingoistic. I don't know how much it is. Jingoistic?
I don't know. I've heard that during some of the screenings, there were some chants of USA, USA during it.
I don't know if you can blame...
That's what I've heard.
I don't know. That would be like blaming the makers of the movie Scarface for urban warfare violence. You know, for like drug dealers in urban... I mean, just be, you can't... If people are morons watching, if people are going to sit in a movie and chant USA, they're a little bit...
It's true.
But it's... I mean... Yeah, it has its patriotic moments, but they're attacking the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm just kind of like, well, I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's true.
If you're gonna, but it has it's a fun action movie. It's violent. It's extremely violent. But and that's why
well, at least it has that.
It has that.
Yeah.
And it has Morgan Freeman.
Anything with Morgan Freeman.
That's true.
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
No matter how bad it is.
Then we rolled down with Oz the Great and Powerful, did 22, which I was close. I said it was going to be close to 25. Mm-hmm. So that's where I win. I win. Anyways, The Call at 9 million. Admission did only 6 million, did not do very well.
No.
I think part of the reason is, part of it is Paul Rudd's not a draw. He's not exactly the name you put on a poster and get people to go see the movie.
It's true. Though, I love Paul Rudd.
I think Paul Rudd's great.
I love that guy.
But there's a lot of people that aren't just seeing movies because it's not like he's not Channing Tatum. You put Channing Tatum's name on a poster.
No, he's not Channing Tatum.
There are people who are going to go to that movie just to see Channing Tatum and yell USA at the screen and all that kind of stuff. And Tina Fey's more of a name because she's sort of headline movies. I just think that this is much this movie kind of is geared towards academics. I think I said that last.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
And I just don't think it connects with the average.
It really isn't geared toward anything, when it comes down to it. It's an entertaining movie, but I don't know that it has much of a draw.
Not terribly surprised.
No.
At the numbers. It rolls down the stuff we see. Spring Breakers made $5 million, which appears good, but the fact is it had a huge drop from Friday to Saturday, and I think it's just going to dwindle fast because it is not about people. I think people are – I got asked this on the radio. It's not – about people going to spring break and partying. It's not like summer school.
Right.
You know, with Mark Harmon, it's a very different type of movie.
That it is.
And
yes.
Selena Gomez does not get naked in it. I actually was asked that on the radio. No, she does not get naked in it.
And that's, you look at, okay, Selena Gomez is in it, and, you know, everybody from Disney is in it. So then you have that, but it's not a Disney movie.
No, it's not. No.
Not so much.
We won't be talking about Spring Breakers after spring break, I have a feeling. The Croods did make $62 million overseas, so it's on its way to become a big hit.
All right.
Anyways, you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can give us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. Go to fatguysatthemovies.com, or you can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. You can reach me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews, and you can find me at nightsandweekends.com and realdiscovery.org.
That's right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we are going to – I'm talking a little bit – speaking of Twitter, I got in a little bit of Twitter problems this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this story. Before we started the show, it taunted me.
What happened was the Pain and Gain Red Band trailer came out this week, and that's the Pain and Gain is the new Michael Bay movie, which is a low budget. Kabloom, kablam! You know, and it's supposed to be his low budget character piece. But if you watch the trailers, it's not. It's just more blowing stuff up and people acting like idiots. It just doesn't have giant robots in it.
It frightens me that he wants to try to make it a character movie.
That was how I heard it was going to be, and it doesn't look that way at all. And I tweeted out, I watched it, and I may have had a little bit of too much Romulan ale when I did this. I'll talk more about that later. And I tweeted out, I said, if you're excited to see Pain and Gain, and you're dumping on Twilight movies, you're a moron. Because my whole point being is, these are Michael Bay movies. I'm not saying fans of Michael Bay movies are morons. I'm not saying fans of Twilight movies are morons. I'm saying that if you think that your stuff is great, but the other stuff is terrible when they're both primal, carnal, just hormonal stuff, it's just different types of hormones, you're an idiot. People who like Michael Bay movies, they always like, they like explosions, they like the excess, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But don't like it when somebody's like, if they're like, well, like Twilight, because it's just so lovable and the emotion and he courts her. Don't say that their garbage is any worse than your garbage.
You do make a good point there.
Yeah. And there was a guy who will remain nameless. If you really want to know, go to my Twitter feed. You can find out who it was. Who jumped all over me because he thought I was calling him a moron. And this is a guy, he's a veteran in the film. He's been doing this stuff for almost 20 years.
Okay.
He got really PO'd at me. And he's like, well, you call me a moron? It's like, you're saying, you know, you suck and blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm just saying that if you dump on the Twilight movies because they're emotional pornography, you can't defend Michael Bay movies for being basically the same thing.
It's true.
And I've been saying this for years.
You do make a pretty good point there. I have to admit it.
Yeah. And his
as
thing,
little as I want to.
Yeah. Well, and his point, he's like, well, I think they're dangerous. And people have brought that up about, you know, impressionable girls seeing Twilight movies. It's all about having a boyfriend and being controlled, and there's an abuse, and there's a lot of stuff that are undertones in those movies. But there's also misogyny, and in Michael Bay movies, it's the misogynistic objectification of women, glorification of violence.
Oh, yeah.
And at times, you know, heavy drug use and that sort of thing. We're at the end. We got to go to break. I'll get your thoughts on that when we come back.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We were just talking about Michael Bay's new movie, Pain and Gain,
yes,
which is coming out later this year. And its connection, the connection between Michael Bay movies and the Twilight films,
yes,
in Kevin's opinion.
Well, one's testosterone, one's estrogen. But you had a point to say about, you know.
Yeah, you know, I have to say I just watched the new trailer this morning. And I have to say, when I saw the first trailer, you know, everybody's like, oh, Michael Bay movie, the big thing. And I was like, all right, I can see that. You know, it's The Rock and it's Mark Wahlberg. I'll take Mark Wahlberg. He's funny.
Sure.
And I pulled up the Red Band trailer this morning, and that thing has completely fallen apart. In the time between watching the first trailer and the Red Band trailer, now I'm like, okay,
yeah,
I'm done. It looks terrible.
It looks like a Cheech and Chong movie.
Yeah, it's...
Whereas if you watch some of the old Cheech and Chong movies, not like Up in Smoke, I think Up in Smoke, the first one that was the big hit, that actually had the semblance of focus to it.
Hmm.
But the later movies, like Still Smoking and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure all they do is just sit down and go, oh, this would be funny. Let's do that. Yeah, man, let's do
that.
And they did it on screen and it makes no sense. There's no connection to the rest of the film.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think that's where this movie is going.
Yeah. And that's my point. My point being that if you're going to make the case that Twilight's dangerous for impressible young girls because it's going to make them want to have an abusive, controlling boyfriend, you should be a little bit concerned about the young...
The message that Michael Bay movies
are
trying to get across.
Yeah, it's just I think they are equally... And I mean, that's not to say they're really horrible, dangerous. And like, where's something like Project X from last year?
Oh.
Project X, I think, actually made the world a worse place.
Because I think you could be right.
There are people that were then saying, we want to have a party like this, and they broke into houses. And because of the movie, and I'm not one to say they shouldn't make the movie, but I'm saying, no, this is what you get when you make a movie that glorifies nihilistic, carnal, ridiculous unresponsibility and stuff like that.
I really look forward to the day when we can stop talking about that movie. So, I really just want to forget it and move on.
I know you do. Anywho... Yeah, that's the thing. So yes, I mean, I think you can make this, you can make the case that Michael Bay movies are as offensive and dangerous as a Twilight movie can be.
There you go.
So if you're going to defend one and not the other, you're a moron. Sorry. I don't like either of them. Anyways, let's move on.
Moving on to more action and adventure and boom.
Boom! Yes! G.I. Joe Retaliation.
What's it called again?
Retaliation.
Whatever.
G.I. Joe R something. In this sequel to the 2009 hit, The Rock and Bruce Willis, along with other lesser action non-stars, blow things up to stop Cobra Commander from blowing up the world.
There's only one man who could authorize a strike like that. And I voted for him.
My fellow world leaders,
this country is at war.
The new Special Forces unit, codenamed Cobra, will protect us where the Joes could not. The G.I. Joes are no more.
What if the president isn't the president?
Our government has been infiltrated.
Any and all traces of our existence is terminated.
We have to assume that there's no one we can trust.
Here's the experience of G.I. Joe Retaliation. Imagine taking like five Chihuahuas, putting them in a box, and put in like then like a toddler with ADHD, and then feed them like a full diet of Jolt Cola and Marshmallow Peeps, throw in a hornet's nest, close the box, and then shake it up. That's what watching G.I. Joe Retaliation is like.
Interesting.
It is noisy and explodey, and at certain times it's trying to tell a story, and you can...
And those are the times when it just goes completely wrong. Because you're like, this doesn't work. Stop telling a story. Make things blow up again.
Well, it's kind of like they're like, well, wait, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Kabloom!
Yeah.
Let's blow something up.
And that's exactly what this movie is. It's one of those... I came home from seeing it, and my husband asked me, so how was the movie? I'm like, well, it is what it is. And that's one of those things, you know?
Did you then suddenly yell, kabloom?
Yeah. Because you don't go into this movie expecting a story.
Mm.
You don't go in expecting anything to make any sense. What you expect is explosions, and there are plenty of them. And there are giant military maneuvers, and there are martial arts hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stuff. And it's neat to watch. But does it make any sense? No. But do you care? Not really.
You're like, there's like parts where you're like... And the other thing is, it's like, it's the most weirdly overwritten bad script movie ever, Because, first of all, for those who don't know, it was going to come out last fall, right. And they delayed it. Part of it was to put in the 3D conversion, but also because they wanted to put in more Channing Tatum. Because he had done so well in the box office last year. Here's the problem. If you watch the Channing Tatum scenes, because spoiler alert, this is from the trailers, he gets killed. Like in the first act.
Yeah.
And that's it's like in the trailer. In the trailer you see it happen.
He is the most charming character in this entire movie.
But as you watch it, you can just tell it's filler. They just added extra scenes with Channing Tatum so they could put him on the poster. And the guy who is sort of like the lead hero, first of all, completely unrecognizable and not even on the poster. You've got The Rock, you got Bruce Willis, you've got Adrian Padalecki, and
other guy.
And
it took
Channing
me forever
Tatum.
To figure out what his name actually was, like the character's name. It's like, I don't know who this guy is.
He's like Booger or something like that.
It's Flint.
It's Flint?
Mm-hmm.
Booger Flint.
Flint.
Yeah, it's...
I guess I know what they're going after with this. I mean, it's based on a toy.
Yeah.
So you've got your toy, and it's a little bit cartoony because, you know, we all watched the cartoon when we were kids.
Yeah.
Or at least I watched the last 5 minutes before, like, My Little Pony started or whatever.
The cartoon made more sense.
And so you've got the cartoony stuff, and you've got the silly one-liners that pop up every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the video game action, because that's what the kids want now.
Yeah.
And
no kids.
And then you have a little touch of Red, because Bruce Willis is there. So,
yeah.
And that's what it is. You don't have a story. It doesn't make sense, but it doesn't matter.
But see, here's the thing. The first movie made more. This is the thing. I'm not necessarily defending brilliant filmmaking from the first movie, but it was cleaner and actually made more sense.
Hmm.
And that was my problem. I'm watching this. I'm like, I don't really know what's going on. And you should at least be able to figure. I mean, the Croods had a greater sense of direction.
Which says a lot.
Yeah,
actually.
I I don't hate it. For me, it's kind of a kind of sucks movie, though. What do you think?
I'm on the fence because for me, it's not as mind blowing as like the Transformers movies, like the action and effects and boom.
It doesn't have the restraint and direction of Michael Bay.
You know, but at the same time, it's not as stupid as the Transformers movies.
Oh
either.
No, it's stupid.
No, it's not. You look at like the second Transformers movie and the last one. They're really stupid.
Well, here's the thing.
And they try to play up on the story, and the story just is dumb.
I guess the question is how do you define stupid? Because if you define stupid as just being, it makes no sense and it's ludicrous or ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, no.
Which is what the Transformers movies are.
Yes.
But this one is more the absence of intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like
but it doesn't try. And that's,
oh, it tries.
I guess that's the thing that
it tries.
That for me, it isn't as offensive to me because there's no story in it.
Wow.
In Transformers, they try to put things with a story in it, and it's long and rambly, and you're like, oh, just shut up and blow something up already. And here, you don't have to worry about that. If you have, like, 3 minutes of story, there will be something blowing up.
I will give this movie credit. It's like an hour and 35 minutes.
That's it.
Whereas Transformers are usually 2 hours. And that's
4 days.
That's Michael Bay's, it's one of his Achilles heels.
And, you know, you have Shia LaBeouf, and he's running around being a complete idiot.
No.
So it's tough.
Real quick, what's your grade?
I am on the fence. I will say, kind of sucks.
Okay. There we go. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Tyler Perry's Temptation and The Host.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Krista Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
We're still here.
Yes, we are. We were just talking about the new G.I. Joe movie, which we're not entirely sure what it's called. And now we're going to move on.
And it sounded like we were arguing about it. And then you're like, well, no, it does kind of suck.
It's true.
It's just, I don't know. All right, what do we...
Anyway.
Let's not worry about
that. Now for something
anymore.
Completely different.
Yeah.
We have Tyler Perry's Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. Kim Kardashian joins the cast of this steamy drama about a happily married matchmaker who is tempted by her rich, handsome client.
How was your third week? Any better? That bad, huh? Why am I wasting my time helping old men get a date? Hey, I can get out and start my own practice. Your marriage counselor, I'd be on my way.
Right now, you don't need to be thinking about that.
What's that?
The largest social media inventor since Zuckerberg
is looking to invest in my company.
Do you run Landover Park?
You run there?
Every Saturday.
With your shirt off, so all the pretty girls could notice you.
Well, you notice me running.
If you have to put Kim Kardashian in your movie...
I put that in my summary just for you.
That's
because I know how you feel about it.
That is a wicked act
and
of desperation.
And because you forced me to talk about this movie.
I made
because
you.
I am the girl here, and these are the movies that I get. If there's a Tyler Perry crappy movie, then I have to talk about it. What? I see how this goes.
Are you going
to
go see it?
No. Why would I go see that?
This is not screened for critics. Shocker to everybody.
Surprise!
The last Tyler Perry movie that I recall that was screened for critics was For Color Girls. And
yeah,
that's because it was an award film. I didn't see that. I ended up watching it on my award screener. It was awful.
Yeah, I never even saw that one.
This one, here's the review. It stars Kim Kardashian. Can it be...
There you go.
...at all good? She's not a good actress. She wasn't even a good actress in her homemade porno movie. Sort of Paris Hilton. She's basically... She's a dark-haired Armenian Paris Hilton with an enormous butt.
Okay.
She's Armenian.
There you have it.
She's Armenian. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to insult.
I believe you are correct that she is Armenian.
I think by pointing it out, I've insulted the Armenian people.
I think they're used to it by now.
Yeah.
They've kind of had to deal with her for a few years now. So, you know, that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
I think they've probably just gotten used to it and moved on.
Yeah. Tyler Perry has been actually trying to do more serious stuff. He's been sort of separating them. It used to be it was all in one movie. The melodrama, mm-hmm. the seriousness, and the Madea stuff, the comedy.
But his comedies are the ones that actually do better.
Yeah.
So, there you go, Tyler Perry. Just saying.
This looks awful. Yeah. I don't even want... I mean, it's the longest title. Tyler Perry Presents, a Tyler Perry production of Tyler Perry's Temptations, Convention of Marriage Council, played by Tyler Perry. And Kim Kardashian.
Perhaps Kim Kardashian was played by Tyler Perry. Now, that would be a movie.
That would be realistic. Because... He's got a big butt.
Does he?
Well, I mean, in the Madea outfit, he definitely has a big butt.
Well, at least he has a big prosthetic butt.
Yeah.
That is at his reach somewhere.
I was waiting to finish your sayings, finish your point at this time. You'll get us kicked off the air this week. Anyways, this is going to
suck. It's my turn, okay?
This is going
to
suck.
You get it every week. It's my turn to get us kicked off the air for once.
We can't even review this because they didn't screen it for us. I'm not upset. I'm not broken up about it.
Which, I have to say, nothing screened this week.
No.
So, really, everything deserves a preemptive suck.
That's right.
So, even G.I. Joe, which we had to go and see after it came out.
Yeah.
So, there you have it.
It's Good Friday. Some might argue it's the worst thing that can happen on Good Friday.
Not so good.
But depends on where you fall on that. Yeah, what's the worst thing that happened on Good Friday? The release of Tyler Perry's new movie.
Wow, that is truly sacrilegious. Now I think we should move on.
Okay, let's move on. You're listening to the Fat Guys. Maybe you're still listening.
Did you seriously have to up me on that one? Really? I was trying so hard to be offensive, and you just had to go and outdo
me.
I'm
sorry.
Okay.
You can blame me now.
All right.
For the hate mail. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dyer Kramer.
My mom is so not letting me be on the show anymore.
Does she even listen? No. Oh, I hope she doesn't. Oh,
no.
I've met your mother. She's way too nice. She would not appreciate my humor.
No.
By the way, I scared the bejeebus out of your child the other
You
way.
Did. You
she
did.
Was terrible.
She's recovering slowly.
Is she?
Yeah.
The bejeebus is slowly coming
Apparently
back.
Apparently it grows back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It regenerates.
Let's talk about something else. The host, Twilight
yeah,
author.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Twilight author Stephanie Meyer's story follows lone humans after an alien invasion of humanity's minds.
This is the beginning of a love story. And that might not seem like a big deal, except for one thing. This is the future, and humanity is all but extinct. We have been invaded by another species who erase our minds to take our bodies. But there are a few of us left who still fight back. I'll lead them away.
Ellie, no!
The fact that
All right, then.
You can actually describe this as a mindless science fiction movie, I think, is very appropriate.
Hmm. It's true.
You read the book, though.
I didn't.
You didn't? It's,
no.
I see it on the bookshelf in the Magical
Well, that doesn't say anything. It's on my shelf. I have it. I own a copy.
Yeah.
And I have been told not to read it because it's that bad.
Have you read it? Did you even, like, did you read any of it?
Nope. No. I was considering it, and I talked to somebody, and they said, I like to read books. I read a lot of books, and I could not get through the first 20 pages of this book. So I was like, okay, never mind. I won't read it.
They had an intervention on you?
Yeah. I was planning on it. I was going to read this book, and I was like, never mind. If it's that bad, forget it.
This movie looks awful. And every trailer, and the more stuff that's come out, it just looks even worse.
And I guess one of the things that kind of says something to me is the fact that of our reps who handle movies for us, nobody is handling this movie.
Nobody's touching it.
No. So that tells me that not only is it bad, but it is so bad that not even publicists want to touch it.
Yeah.
So that's
pretty scary.
And they'll
touch anything.
It's true.
Publicists are kind of like the creepy kid on the playground. Will you eat that? I'll eat that for a dollar. Two spiders mating. I'll eat those while they're doing it for a dollar.
There we have it. Yeah. Wow, this... What did we say about this show derailing? It derailed in the first 30 seconds, and it has just gone downhill from here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I would like to apologize to my mother, my father, anyone in the state of Michigan where my parents live, I'm sorry.
Don't tell them.
Please don't tell my parents.
Keep it our secret. Anyways, the host, here's the thing that's just so bizarre about it. It's directed by Andrew Niccol, who is a really good director. I mean, he's a quality artist. He did movies like Gattaca.
Hmm.
I mean, he's done some really quality stuff. He did In Time a couple years ago, which was not a good movie.
Hmm. But, it was interesting.
But I thought his presentation of it was actually pretty good. And his production design and sort of like the level, the quality of filmmaking he brings is impressive.
This does not look like that movie.
This looks like it's got a certain level of quality in look. But it looks like the dumbest story. It could possibly
be. Well, the director can't really help that.
It could possibly be the dumbest
story. Although he probably could have not taken the movie.
Yeah. I'm going to go see this. I'm going to force myself to go see it. Just because, again, I am one of those people who I say, you know, if you're going to really just rip on a movie, you have to see it and suffer through it and then just take the screws to it.
There you go.
That's my rules.
Okay.
I'm not doing that for the Tyler Perry movie, but anyways. It gets a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it. They didn't acknowledge its existence in our tri-state area or whatever.
Tri-state area?
I'm just...
Nice. That's very Perry the Platypus.
Thank you. H&P. It gets a preemptive suck.
Yes.
What do you think is going to do? What's going to win this weekend? Here's the big question. I'm going to defer to you since you've proved your your brilliance in box office
prediction. I had a lucky guess last week. Well, I'm going to have to give it to G.I. Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will give it $45 million.
Ooh. I'm going to say $35.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to write that down because I forgot to write down last week. So we're both saying G.I. Joe.
Yep.
G.I. Joe, whatever it's called. And you say 45, I say 35. Kevin and Katie K. There we go. Well, that's it.
All right. Enough of that.
I would love to see the Croods continue to beat everybody back on this one.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, it might not happen.
Take G.I. Joe.
All right. Well, we got to go to break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about DVDs. And you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
The three of you who are left.
Yeah, everyone's left. I was informed how greatly offensive I was during the break. And my response, I look at Kristen and I'm like, so? I've been offensive before.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Kind of a weekly thing for you.
Yeah.
So it's no big deal.
Well, all right. Well, if you... If you are still with us, we are now going to talk about home video. So what time is it?
It is time for the DVD roundup.
That's right. The top one. Let's talk about the top one because the
Let's
rest
do that.
Everything else is like not at all respectable films. They're all very
really. You're
genre
not calling
different.
Any of those respectable.
No, but let's talk about the Oscar. Well, it's a winner because even though it didn't win Best Picture,
right?
It won Best Actor.
We are, of course, talking about Lincoln.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
Steven Spielberg.
We're not talking about Parental Guidance with
no, that
Billy
comes
Crystal.
Later.
This was one of my favorite movies of last year, and I know you loved it, too.
I did. In fact, I have seen this movie 3 times already.
Oh, my God. That's like almost like 8 hours worth of watching.
It's like 48 hours. Yeah. It is a long movie. And my parents were in town last week, and I watched this with them. And my parents are not movie people, and my mom's kind of ADHD, so she can't really sit through a long movie. But my mom sat through this entire movie and was actually quite fascinated by it. So we actually had a little discussion afterwards. It's a really interesting movie.
That's what I find. That's why I think it's so fascinating, because it is just a bunch of people talking.
Yeah.
That is all. And they don't. There's like one scene where they're outside. There's one scene where he's riding in a carriage.
Yeah.
Everything else is in dark, dingy, poorly lit rooms, because that's the way it was in 1865.
Right.
And it is just people with facial hair talking to each other.
It's true.
Except Sally Field. She doesn't have any facial hair.
She might.
No, she could.
They probably took care of that for her.
Laser surgery.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a beautifully done movie. It's a gorgeous film. It did incredibly well. And that's the other thing I thought was fascinating, is that it did so well.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just such a good movie to watch, and it gives you history, but and you can enjoy it even if you don't know a lot about the history of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you know who every character is, they do a great job with that.
Yeah.
But if you don't know who's who, it still is compelling enough going through the film.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And it's interesting to have 2 Blu-ray discs in this collection. So there are a lot of special features, but they're really interesting.
Yeah.
It's like Steven Spielberg's own film school.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool going through all these things and seeing just how unusual the set was for making this movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you have Daniel Day-Lewis and his whole method thing and how, you know, it kind of took over the whole set.
Oh, wow.
And then they talk about just little things that they did. Like, they found Abraham Lincoln's own pocket watch. And so the ticking that you hear of Abraham Lincoln's pocket watch in this movie is the actual watch. Things like that. They found like bells that he would have heard from outside his office. And, you know, it was really kind of cool. All the detailed work that they put into this.
And what's interesting is the detail that goes into stuff like this is stuff that can trip up some directors.
Yeah.
There are directors who get too caught in the minutiae.
Right.
Famously, you know, like, 30-some years ago was when Michael Cimino did Heaven's Gate, and he was scrapping things because this wasn't right, and he didn't have this kind of cattle. I mean, it can be a rabbit hole that directors can go through. But if you do it right and smartly, you can have some really neat elements to it, and it can really enhance a film.
Yep, and it is really interesting to find out that stuff later. Like, oh, I had no idea, but that's really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lincoln, check that out. It's worth getting, because the thing is, even though the DVDs, well, your Blu-ray is, depending on where you get it, you can probably get it for in the 20s, you know, around 20 to 30 bucks. I think it retails for $28. These are the kind of movies that are worth buying because they have so much special features.
Yeah.
And you don't get that in an instant download. And as much as I like instant downloads at times, it's nice to have all the extra bells and whistles.
This is one to have in your collection.
Or bells and
Because,
watches.
You know, your friends will come over and be like, oh, you have Lincoln.
And they'll
you're
think you're smart. I wish, the only thing I wish it had, I wish it came with Tommy Lee Jones' hairpiece.
Nice.
That would have been, I'd be wearing that right now. No, I wouldn't. It's way too hot in the magical studio.
It is way too hot in here.
I want to burn through a couple other things because there's another one that's going to talk, that's going to spark a discussion. But there's also Continuum Season 1. That's the show with Rachel Nichols on Sci-Fi, Time Traveling Rebels and that sort of thing. Parental Guidance, which is...
Yes, with Billy Crystal and Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Which is an amusing movie for me because it's all about Bette Midler and Billy Crystal going to take care of their grandchildren.
Yeah.
And differences in parenting today and before. And it's definitely your parents' movie.
Mm.
Because this is a movie where, in the end, no matter what grandpa and grandma do wrong, they're still right in the end.
Aww.
And I have to say, in a lot of ways, I kind of agree with them because, you know, Marissa Tomei, she's, you know, one of those crazy parents who does everything, you know, oh, you can never say no to your children and you can't say don't to your children.
I say
it's
it all
one
the time.
Of those things. I say it to my kid all the time. She's only 8 months old.
I say it to other people's kids. So, that gets you in trouble.
There you go. But yeah, it is definitely, you know, a grandma knows best kind of movie.
Yes, yes. There's also The Collection, which is the sequel to The Collector. It's not that good. It's completely... It goes bigger and dumber. It tends to be a thing with sequels.
Well, there you go.
So I actually kind of thought The Collector was kind of an interesting sort of thriller.
Uh-huh.
But this one goes a little bit off the rails. It gets a little bit too much like Saw, where it just gets silly. And there's also some classic horror films on Blu-ray for the first time, From Beyond, which is Stuart Gordon's adaptation of the H.P. Lovecraft story. That's a whacked-out movie. And that's neat on Blu-ray. There's also Phantasm 2, which is on Blu-ray. Phantasm series is... The first two are really good. Rest, not so much. But yeah, Phantasm is on Blu-ray. And that's always worth watching. And then Star Trek Enterprise, Season 1 on Blu-ray. This is the last Star Trek series they did. It stars Scott Bakula, and it takes place before the formation of the United Federations of Planets. So it's a little like the starships in their infancy. Mm-hmm. There's stuff going wrong with them. It doesn't quite work right. And it's showing where they're going to eventually get to the point that they get to in the original series.
And in this movie, does he jump through time and pose as other people in history?
He should.
Mm, okay.
But I don't think he does.
Oh.
They do have a sexy...
That's unfortunate.
They have a sexy female Vulcan in it.
Of course they do. It's a guy's movie.
I'm sure
show.
She wears
they have to have one of those.
I'm sure she wears a miniskirt.
It's like G.I. Joe. You know, they're a bunch of tough military guys, but of course they have a hot chick in their ranks, too.
Yeah. Who has no butt. I mean, she has no butt.
Really?
I think if you could just take some of Kim
Kardashian's...
I can't
say that I noticed.
I noticed. I'm contractually obligated to notice those sort of things.
It is your job.
But since we mentioned Star Trek, I had my Trek-a-thon this weekend with my kids.
Yes, you did.
And we watched all the movies... The original series, we didn't watch the whole original series, but I did select episodes of the original series.
You had quite a program guide.
Oh, yeah.
It was phenomenal.
And I did posters. I had posters in the basement, and everyone got a toy, and we had a letter that I had them, that was written to them from Starfleet welcoming them. We made t-shirts, and my wife brought food and drink down and all this. It was all themed. I made my own drinks. I created drinks. I created the Green Chick.
Oh, nice.
Or the Orion Slave Girl is also what it's called.
Nice.
And it's basically a grasshopper with a green marshmallow peep chick in the center of it. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. My kids are totally into Star Trek now. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Kristen this before we started the show, that the limit on how long you can say, oh my, every time George Takei shows up, it gets old after about an hour.
Oh, okay, an hour.
But we continue to do it. it was funny because every time... And then when, like, we watched the new Star Trek from 2009, when John Cho shows up, we're like, oh my, it just doesn't work.
No, probably not.
It's not the same.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it's... And now I realize my favorite Star Trek movies are... I have to break them up the way I break up the Bond movies.
Okay.
And say my favorite ones per Bond.
Okay.
Because it's so hard to compare, like, Wrath of Khan to the new Star Trek. I mean, they're so...
It's true.
You've got 30 years difference. And so my favorite of the original series movies was the Wrath of Khan.
Well, there's that. I mean, it's the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. And part 4, where they go get the whales, and part 6.
I love the whales.
The whales is good.
It is so ridiculous. And to see them walking around in San Francisco in the 80s or wherever they are.
Yeah.
It is so funny.
And it's great. I mean, I love it. It's very old school Trek because they go back in time for the cheap episodes.
Yep.
And then my favorite of the next generation is First Contact with the Borg. That's a fantastic movie. And the effects hold up because that was released in 1996. And most movies you see that are from 1996, the effects look really terrible.
It's true.
And this one that looks really good still. Hmm. So, and then, of course, I like the new movie, so we'll see. I ran out of the theater the other night when I was seeing G.I. Joe because they showed a Trek trailer.
Oh.
I'm not watching any of those stuff. Anyways, and then the final stinker is Killing Them Softly. Did you hate that as much as I did?
I did not love it. Yes, it's
okay.
True.
Good to know. All right. We got to go. We are at the end of the show again this week. G.I. Joe Retaliation got a kind of suck from both of us. The Host and Tyler Perry's Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, starring Kim Kardashian and Tyler Perry as Tyler Perry. the marriage counselor, Tyler Perry.
Nice.
Both get preemptive sucks. Box office prediction, you say 45 million for G.I. Joe. I say 35 million for G.I. Joe. Next week, we're going to talk about Jurassic Park 3D and Evil Dead.
See ya.